Hey, this is Brandon Crawford from the San Francisco Giants, and you're listening to TortureCast.
You're listening to a podcast by and for fans of the San Francisco Giants. Let's go, Giants! With hosts Willie Dills, Chad King, Ben Lee, and Eric Nathanson. Dedicated to the greatest team in Major League Baseball, the San Francisco Giants. This is TortureCast.
It's Wednesday, April 15th, tax day. No, it's not. It's delayed. 2020, and this is episode 193 of the TortureCast, the podcast by and for fans of the no longer playing San Francisco Giants. I'm your host, Chad King, and joining me from Georgia today, still under shelter in place, both of us are, most of the nation is Eric Nathanson. What's up, man? How's your quarantine party going?
Oh, it's same, different day. It's
Groundhog Day, right? Every freaking day, man.
It really is. The one thing I don't understand so far is the weekends seem to be flying by. I don't get it. Like, I blink on Sunday night, and I'm like, where the hell did the weekend go? And suddenly it's Monday, and it's like, oh, here we go again. Same day, over and over and over again. So, you know, we're getting by, trying to pass the time. How's it going in California? Is it still... you guys are on a very big lockdown right now still.
Yeah. In fact, we don't even have an end date to our California lockdown. It's just kind of to be determined. So obviously the state has been extremely conservative in their measures. We were the first state to lock down 5 days prior to the statewide lockdown. Six Bay Area counties, including my county of Santa Clara, locked down because Santa Clara was actually at that moment had the second most cases of any county in the nation. Behind the main one in New York that had already exploded or started to explode. LA eventually passed us, thank goodness, because this isn't a contest or anything. But right. The Bay Area recognized this early. They locked down, then LA locked down a couple days later, and then the whole state within a few days after that. And so far, it's proved to be the right call. And I think a lot of people were actually clamoring for it to happen even a week prior, but they at least got ahead of it enough relative to other states like New York that were actually at very similar numbers at the same time. Now, that being said, of course, population density of New York versus California is a little different, but there's still a very dense, you know, urban centers like LA and San Francisco and those, and they haven't experienced what New York has, fortunately for us. But so, yeah, we're just going to ride this out and see how long it takes. But man, Eric, this is crazy. I think since we've been under lockdown for whatever, 4+ weeks now, the new normal is starting to settle in. And yeah. I think what's scary about it is I think a lot of people, a lot of Americans still think, well, you know, our shelter in place is over on May 1st or May 15th or April 30th or whatever it may be. And once that happens, we just flip a switch and we just go back to work and everything's fine. And that could not be further from the truth. And that's the thing that I think is really depressing. I'll be honest. This is a psychologically depressing already on so many people, not just from the sports aspect and going to school and going to work and kind of normal life things, but it's the fact that this isn't going to be a 6-week, 8-week or whatever. This is going to be an on and off at the very minimum extended process of trying to mitigate the spread of this disease. And we're going to see it in different ways at different states over the months and years to come. But, you know, vaccine, they say, is 12 to 18 months away. But in reality, did you know that the record for the quickest vaccine ever developed was 4 years? So
Wow.
they're thinking that that's extremely fast, is 12 to 18 months. And a lot of experts are doubting that. They think more 2 to 3 years. But even if it was, you know, 18 months from now, we're talking about going into the end of 2021 before we even have a vaccine. The only way to stop the spread is to do the social distancing. That's it. It's the only weapon we have in our tool belt. And it's going to be interesting to see how this plays out because, you know, you look at some past pandemics like the 2018 Spanish flu, and then thing came back in the fall, then went away, and then came back again in the summer, and then went away. And I think we're going to see that here. All the numbers say that. So it's going to be something that you and I probably will eventually catch if we're going to be exposed over the next 18, 24 months. And the thing that scares me about that is not necessarily the mortality rate on guys our age, although some very healthy 30, 40-year-olds have died. It's getting together with your with our relatives, including my parents and my wife's parents, right? Like, are we going to avoid them? Are we never going to see them for 2 years? No, probably not. But if we were an asymptomatic carrier and we go over at Christmas and hug them and then they get it, that's where it gets scary. And
because you can't test yourself about this every single day. That's the only way to be certain is to test yourself or be vaccinated against such a thing, which is why when you project out 3-4 years for a vaccine to come, it's kind of, I don't want to say scary, but that's like, that's startling to know that a vaccine has never been developed that quickly. And that, you know, that's, you're right, that there's no reason to think that that means we'll get this one developed any quicker. So who knows how long this is. This is a new normal. You're right. We've settled into a new normal. I mean, I'm frustrated, not all the time, but I'm definitely frustrated at times. But like the everyday activity, it's a normal now. Seeing everything be done over video chats, it's a new normal now. It's just totally different. Yeah. Just having empty streets and, you know, and like you said, it might have to stay that way for a while. That's why I commend California. I'm jealous of y'all in California for how quickly y'all, there's the Southern here, how quickly your state jumped on it. My state took forever, and the people locally are taking forever. We had to do a store run, and it was finally up to about 30-40% of people wearing masks. Whereas maybe a week ago, week and a half ago, I hadn't been out in like 10 days. It was like maybe 3 people wore a mask out of, you know, 50. So sure. it's finally getting through to some people. But I mean, there's no accounting for all the other people who do want to flip that switch on May 1st. And it's just not going to happen.
Yeah. So, you know, long story short is that even if each of your states, you know, we're going to be staggered, people are going to come out at different times, there's got to be rollout plans, right? It can't be all restaurants, theaters, malls, workplaces are just open. That's because then we have the same density of people that we used to have, and it'll just flare up right away. I think you're going to see restaurants with modified hours and spread out tables. I even think like things like movie theaters and stuff aren't going to be open for quite some time. Same with gyms and those kind of places. I think they're going to be locked down or excluded from states reopening for quite some time. And when flare-ups do happen, like they all said, you have to have the adequate testing to detect the flare-ups before they get too large. And if you can detect a small flare-up, then you can isolate those people, do contact tracing to contact those people, put them under isolation or quarantine. And those are the ways to specifically or surgically battle this. But until we have all the testing in place, which we're not even close to having the volume of testing we need, it's going to be a guessing game. And the last thing any state wants to do is open up and be like, all right, everything's been good for like 3 weeks. And then suddenly, boom, overnight, there's another, you know, massive flare up. And then you got to shut down the entire state again. So
I mean, this is the thinking behind your state, right? Your state is extended shelter in places, extended large gathering stuff. You know, they're the ones like leading the way. Do you think, I don't know how far it is. I know you wrote some stuff down here, but do you think that what California is putting into place is what's going to happen across the country, or is it just going to keep getting pushed and pushed and pushed?
Yeah, that's a good question. They formed an alliance with Washington and Oregon for kind of a West Coast plan. They said they don't have any specific plans yet. So that's the thing. We don't know. Newsom said he'll update the public later as we see the backside of our curve, because it looks like we're plateauing now in California, but it's still going to take weeks for us to start really descending. They haven't said like, oh, we need to get to 10% of our high or 20% of our high or 1% of our high. They haven't said any of those kinds of numbers. It'll just be some number that they think, okay, we're in the clear now. Not enough people are infected, so let's start opening it up on a case-by-case basis. But again, who goes back to work, right, besides essential people? Like, would all offices open? Probably not. I would think a lot of employers should keep their employees telecommuting if possible. And then as this extends over the summer, it'll be interesting to see what happens with schools, because right now my kids are devastated that they've lost the rest of the academic year. But I don't think they know enough about the situation to know that it's quite possible by August they're still not going to be going back to school, because that is a main area of disease transmission. As we all know, all the kids who come sick come home sick from, you know, school interacting with 2,000 other kids. So, I don't know, man. It's a brave new world. It sucks, but I think we're just going to have to adapt, all of us together. We're all in it together. That's the thing. It's not like, you know, your state gets hit by a hurricane or tornado and we're like, oh, pray for Georgia. No, this is everybody, man. This is everybody's in this together. So
that's what makes this so weird. Every other thing, like you use the perfect example, like, you know, oh, a hurricane hits the state and it's like, oh, you know, gosh, I hope those people are okay. But, you know, you don't worry about that in, you know, the Bay Area, whether or not a hurricane's going to hit you that hit us down here in Georgia. You know, yep. And just like if there was an earthquake, you know, I'd be like, oh, you know, that sucks. There was an earthquake. But this is something that hits all of us. And it makes it just, I think that's what makes it weird. Is, you know, not everybody can rush to help other people. It affects everybody in every aspect of life. You know, and it throws everything into chaos. That's why baseball's doing things like floating new plans every week to see if they can play a season. You don't know what's going to happen. And so it's so fluid that everything that comes up, I mean, is going to be full of questions, full of holes, and we have no idea what the right choice is going to be for a long, long time.
So last week we talked about a potential idea of all of the teams going down to Arizona and playing in 10 to 15 different stadiums, and that's how they would conduct the season. But there's a new, kind of a modified part of that plan. Why don't you go ahead and explain that?
What they decided they wanted to do, instead of having everybody in one state, in one area, is send the Florida teams to Florida and have a Grapefruit League. Send the Cactus League teams to Arizona and have a Cactus League. And they would play same at empty stadiums, and they would form new divisions, and then the winners of those two leagues would play each other in a quote-unquote World Series. So, like, the Giants would not be in the NL West anymore with the Padres, Rockies, Dodgers and Diamondbacks. They would have been in the Northwest Division because it's based on location in Arizona, and they would be in a division with the Cubs, the A's, the Diamondbacks, and the Rockies. And so it would be a little different than we're uh-huh. used to. And DH should be universal, and they would do the same things that we were talking about last week. They would try to sequester the teams and things like that and make expanded rosters, but the same logistical headaches come into it. And you were looking into it deeper, and some of these players, they may not be necessarily on board with this idea. As much as we as fans want any kind of baseball, like, this is my opinion off the top. If they can figure out some way to play a season in a healthy fashion, I'm all for it. I don't care if it's 100 games. I don't care if it's 75 games. I don't care if it's a big tournament. I don't care what it is. Just give me some baseball. I think that would be fun. But there's so many logistical problems with it.
Yeah, there's so many logistical problems. And, you know, we talked a little bit about that last week where the players, staff, everybody would be in a virtual, well, and real bubble, to be honest, where the only places they can go are to and from the hotel and the stadium. That is it. And they would be tested every week or two for COVID-19 to make sure that everybody is negative. Obviously, the initial problems with this is you would be restricting the players, essentially quarantining them for 4.5 months, meaning they cannot see their families. They cannot go out to eat. They cannot go play golf on an off day. They just can't do that stuff anymore. Their life will be in a hotel and in the park. That is it. And so that in itself would be psychologically hard for a lot of these players. Not like we're all not doing that anyway, to a certain extent. But the problem with that is, one, we're already very short on PPE equipment nationwide, and the testing requires the doctors or the clinicians to be wearing PPE, taking these tests. So it would put a drain on those resources. And then there's just the cost and availability of the tests. It'd be like, wait a minute, you're going to have thousands of tests per month for Major League Baseball, but Joe Schmo from Arkansas can't get a test. So there's a kind of that social issue as well. It's like you're going to putting a drain on the resources, and that's not fair just for a sport to play. I mean, I would love it, but it really, when you look at the equity of it, it's not fair. And then number three, and this was brought up just anecdotally. I was reading today, Mike Trout and Clayton Kershaw brought up some really good points. Mike Trout has a kid due in August. He's like, I am not going to miss the birth of my son. I will never miss that. He's like, what am I supposed to do? Leave the quarantine to go visit my son, and then I have to come back and quarantine for 14 days so I would miss the end of the season or that part of the season. Clayton Kershaw said the same thing. He said, you know, my boy is young. He's changing every week. I'm not going to miss 4.5 months of his life. I can't do that. I'm not going to do that. He already just put his foot down. And the problem that arises is, well, hypothetically, these players could be living with their families, but now their families have extended that bubble massively. And now they have to be tested. All of the extra gear for that, all the extra tests for that. Not only that, just but the food, the security, the extra cost of housing them. So that makes it an exponentially much tougher problem. And so I don't know how they're going to come across or jump these hurdles, you know, like Justin Turner was saying, you know, for the single guy without kids, this isn't, it wouldn't be too hard to do. But he's like, for the guys who have families and wives and stuff, he's like, I don't see how they can do it. It's just going to be too hard. So I don't know. Dr. Fauci came out today and said if they do have a containment system like they've proposed, he said medically that probably would be an acceptable way to go. Always not playing in front of fans. But he acknowledged the drain on resources and what have you. And then Governor Newsom, although it's probably moot now because we know they're not playing in the state of California, but he did say there's basically no way he sees fans being able to attend sporting events throughout the summer, which I would assume is easily going to go into the fall when basketball starts and hockey starts again and all that stuff. So that'll be more fun sports talk to talk about then. But yeah, this is unprecedented, Eric. I mean, I would have thought an alien invasion might have been more likely than what we're going through now. This is just bizarro world stuff. It's stuff I could have never envisioned.
It really is like living in a movie. That's what like my family and I keep saying to each other. Like, you hear about it. We see these things. We see the mad scientist waving his sheet. And, you know, it couldn't really happen, but it has happened. And because of things like, you know, Newsom extending the sporting events through summer, you know, you're right. It's going to spill over into the NBA and NHL. I think a lot of other sports are looking into the plans MLB is coming up with and going to try to pull off that and say, can we do something similar to that? But this one, I agree with Trout. I agree with Kershaw. You know, married men with kids, you know, their family becomes a liability at that point. And you don't want to think of your family as a liability. That doesn't make any sense. They're there, you know, to enhance your life together, not to possibly infect the entire Dodgers organization. And that's the kind of thing that you have to worry about. And that's the problem with every one of these plans, as plausible and as cool as they sound to, you know, the 23-year-old guy who just broke in and all he was going to be doing was living out of a hotel anyways. You can't ask these other guys to do it. You know, as an ex-umpire, I've talked to many former umpires and they, the worst part of the job is being away from the family. Up until a few years ago, I mean, if you think about it, umpires never have a home game. They're always on the road. Mm-hmm. So like baseball players, at least during the season, half the time they get to spend at home. But umpires don't have that time. They finally got a 2-week vacation during the season now that they didn't used to have. But it's kind of asking an entire league to do the same thing. Isolate yourself on the road without seeing your family for 5-6 months straight and do it for our entertainment. And it just doesn't seem right. It doesn't even feel right as a consumer to know that they're doing that just for our benefit. Yeah, these guys want to play the games. You know, it's funny because they're starting to talk about it with football. They're starting to realize that they could be playing in front of empty stadiums. And I heard Kirk Cousins say the other day, he's like, yeah, I'd love it. He's like, it would be just like practice. You know, I'd absolutely love not playing in front of fans. And all I could think is that is not the guy I want leading my team.
No way.
I mean, are you kidding me? Like, oh, he said it would be a relaxed atmosphere. Yeah, okay, for somebody who can't handle the pressure. Half the fun of the sporting event is the crowd noise and the ebbs and the flows and the one voice rising together and going silent as one, you know? Like, we love it as fans when one team silences another ballpark, or we love it when our own ballpark crescendos to those loud noises. And that's part of what makes it fun. So even when they do figure out what to do, because I think baseball will get there before anybody else. I really do. I think depending on what they can find with the testing and, you know, as long as that can be more available widespread, I think that that's a better step in the direction for baseball. But I think they're the ones to really test it out because they're open air stadiums and they're, you know, outside and instead of being closed in gymnasiums and ice rinks.
Yeah, no, that's a good point. They are outdoors. So there's a little bit of that less enclosed feeling for transmission. But yeah, again, at the top of the show, and we talked about that if they don't have a vaccine anytime real soon, We're always going to have a chance for this disease transmission. And how is that going to affect all sports going forward, not just into the fall, but hell, back into baseball next year, you know, back into football in 2021. I mean, we just, these are unknowns at the moment, but you could hypothetically see a situation where all sports are going to be played in front of empty stadiums and may be subject to this intense testing once the testing is more widely available and they're not putting a drain on those kind of medical resources. But until then, this is, you know, I know you're not a Marvel fan, but there's this, it was in Infinity War, you know, one of the first two parts of the big crescendo of the Marvel Cinematic Universe. So there's a scene in which, you know, this snap has already happened. Half of the world's population, half of the universe's population is been killed or transported to another dimension, whatever you want to call it. And they have these wonderful sweeping shots of like New York Harbor and the Statue of Liberty. But the drone or the helicopter flies right over Citi Field. And I remember watching that on the big screen because they've digitally altered it. So it looks like it's in disarray, right? There's the grass is really no longer existent. It's clear that Major League Baseball is not being played at that time during this whole, you know, massive worldwide phenomena. And I remember watching that going, God, I could not imagine a world in which there wasn't any baseball. And I'm like, holy crap. A year and a half later, that's what we're going to be living here. That's what it feels like is going to happen.
That is this world.
That's insane to me. That's literally what's happening right now. Not to mention the other sports. I mean, look at the NBA. It was just, that's it. I know they haven't officially declared the season over, but it's over. I don't see what they're going to do.
Yeah, you know? It's over.
Same with hockey, right? So it's amazing to see these lost seasons. And I know we're not talking about the death and destruction that's happening to our citizens. And that's, you know, we don't want to go too dark on you guys. Sports are definitely not the number one thing in our lives, but this is a sports, you know, baseball podcast. So we're going to talk about those things. And it's just very odd to see this stuff and even just our entertainment, movies and everything else. You know, we can't go see a concert or go to a movie theater. You know, these are the everyday things that we're going to lose for quite some time. But, you know, eventually
everything is a streaming. Yeah, everything's a streaming experience right now.
Yeah, that's pretty crazy. But yeah, so it'll be interesting to see what happens with this grapefruit cactus idea. I think it would be pretty insane. The Giants and the A's and the Cubs would be in the same division. That would be
I think it'd be fun as hell, man.
That'd be fun for like one experimental season. You know what I mean? That'd be kind of cool. Right. That'd be kind of cool.
I mean, it's already screwed up. We already, you know, like anybody who has any hope of a standard AL-NL regular season playoffs and World Series, they need to get that thought out of their head. It's not going to happen. Whatever a standard season is, it's not going to happen. So, no. You know, what the hell? Let's have fun. Who cares, you know, which way this season goes, if it's a tournament. Who cares if a team with a losing record gets in the playoffs and wins it all? Yeah. You know, I mean, honestly, it's already it's all fizzocked. It already is. It's all screwed up. You know, the season's going to have an asterisk no matter what. So if they figure out some way to play it, I'll just be happy that they've played it somehow. But
and all
I mean,
because some Chinese dude got a bat,
right?
Brought it into town. I mean, it's like, really?
Batman was supposed to save us.
Talk about one guy affecting the world. Whoo, boy, did he ever.
Just proves Batman. And really doesn't have any power. I mean, that's crazy. Batman could have stopped this, but he doesn't have any real superpowers. He's not like the Avengers. Sorry.
No, it's it would be a lot of fun. You know what? It's funny that the good teams are the ones that are being penalized by this the most. And what I mean by that is the ones who are prime for winning now. They're going to potentially lose a full season at that peak. While as opposed to the Giants and other teams who are in the rebuilding process, it's like, meh, we aren't going to win anyway. You know, it just kind of accelerates it another year.
It does. I would be so pissed if I was a Dodger fan. Mookie Betts just got traded to my team. I'd be pissed. The White Sox were rebuilding, and they look like a pretty good team coming out of the gate this year. You know, you got to think the Red Sox and Yankees fans were chomping at the bit because the Astros are you know, primed to be taken over now because of everything that's going on. And it all got sucked away. I mean, I really do. I think – because our team is in a down cycle right now, it's made it a lot easier for us. I couldn't imagine if we were a team that had been – the Brewers fans, Cubs fans got to be going nuts. You know, this is our window. And you know, we're just like over here like, yeah, our window's in a couple years anyway. So we'll get there eventually.
So since we don't have actual games to talk about, baseball and other organizations are still doing – things that are baseball related to help us kind of cope with it. And so we can go through a few of them here. First of all, Baseball Reference is simulating the season with Out of the Park Baseball 21. And so the Giants are doing kind of about where I would expect them, to be honest.
Right.
They are 7-10 and fourth place in the NL West. So if you want to go check that out, go to baseball-reference.com. /sim/daily. You can just Google it as well. And so they have day-to-day updates. They have stats. They have everything there. So it's kind of fun. It means absolutely nothing, but it's kind of fun. I actually downloaded that season or Out of Park Baseball, although it's the former year. It's 20, which I didn't realize. Kind of like Madden and all that. They put the year ahead. Although you think, you know, this whole baseball season happens in 2020, including the World Series, yet they call it 21. So it's like, what are you guys doing, man? It's like a misnomer. But
I mean, it makes more sense with football because it overlaps. We have no overlap. Yeah.
Yeah. NBA and football and hockey all overlap the year. Baseball does not. So that's why it's a very odd naming transition. But yeah, check that out. Tell us about the Players Tournament.
Oh, the if you're a video, even if you're not a video game fan, but if you're a fan of video games, of MLB The Show video games, players, representatives from each of the 30 teams are playing a tournament. Each player is going to play every other player in the span of a few weeks here to then set up a tournament to play down to the winner. Hunter Pence is the Giants representative. All these games are being streamed live on Twitch. MLB Twitch, I'm sure, has a Twitch. We all know Hunter Pence has a Twitch. I think he's one of the oldest guys in the tournament, too. All the names that I've been going through here are all, like, young guys.
Yeah. But he's definitely a big gamer, as we all know.
He is, but he's only 1-3 so far, and the only win he's got was when he hit a walk-off with Buster Posey. I don't even know who he beat. Hunter plays four games tonight. These games are, I believe, four-inning games. And Hunter plays – no, that's not what I opened. Hunter plays four games tonight. So if you wanted to see that, you can check out his Twitch channel. MLB has a Twitch channel. And it's kind of fun. Robert Flores is there kind of doing some commentary. Amir Garrett of the Reds showed up in full uniform the other day.
I saw that. That was awesome.
Yeah, he's 6-2, Amir Garrett. I mean, like, here you go. In the NL West is Tatis with the Padres – Lux with the Dodgers, Duplantier with the I don't know who the hell Duplantier is, so that must
Arizona.
Be
Arizona.
That must be, yeah. David Dahl for the there it is finally. The icons didn't load, and David Dahl for the Rockies. But poor Hunter's in last place. He's 1-3.
1-3. Yeah. Yeah. So we don't have any highlights to play of regular baseball games. I do have the highlight for Hunter Pence.
You do.
It's pretty funny. So they do have 3-inning games. But it was in the bottom of the third inning in which Hunter Pence – I'm not going to play that clip, but I'll just give you context for why he says what he says in this clip. He had a runner on second, and he nailed a single to the outfield, which was easily going to score the run. So he made the runner round third, and he started to stand up, and he put his controller down. Well, apparently he dropped it. So it deactivated his runner, who just stopped between third and home. So the ball came in, the catcher got it. He's like, wait, what? What happened? What? I was running. So he got tagged out. They went to the fourth inning, and they were tied all the way until the bottom of the ninth with two outs and no one on, and Buster Posey coming up to the plate.
And solid contact there is his ball. Finally! Uncle, that's why you don't pinch run for Buster Posey. And I can't mess up the base running. Jeez, oh Pete. Good game.
It's a pretty classic clip. He looks so frustrated and relieved all at the same time.
I had it. I didn't have it. I mean, it's a very relatable move. I mean, we're all at home, so.
Yeah. Oh, these guys, I swear. All right. And then why don't you cover the last two things here, the the players and the replayed games.
Oh, yeah. I've been getting a kick. Joe Posnanski of The Athletic. He was doing this before the season was even canceled. He was counting down the 100 best players in the history of baseball. And if you have an Athletic subscription, it's totally worth it. If you don't, they're doing 90 days free. Just go to the website, find it. It's right there. Like a lot of streaming services and other services, they're dropping the curtain for a little bit. And he counted down the top 100 players of all time. And lo and behold, Willie Mays came in at number one. I was slightly shocked. I really expected it to be Babe Ruth. Babe seems to always be revered, and us Giants folks absolutely love Willie. But it came out Willie Mays was number one, and Barry Bonds was number three on the list. So, you know, two of the three best players of all time wear Giants uniforms. And I thought that was pretty cool. Joe Posnanski does a really good podcast. He's been a baseball writer for many, many years. And if you don't know, his favorite player of all time is one Dwayne Kuiper.
Really?
Yes, because Joe grew up an Indian fan, and Dwayne Kuiper was the second baseman for the Indians. So Dwayne's solo home run, one lone home run, is also Joe's like career highlight because he's a Browns fan, he's an Indians fan. You know, the guy, you know, he's had a rough life.
And a rough sporting life, yeah.
Right?
Wow.
So Dwayne Kuiper, I'm not kidding you, Dwayne Kuiper is his absolute favorite player of all time. He's written odes to Kuiper. It's absolutely fantastic, and it makes for a good joke every year when the Kuiper home run comes around. But it was a good list by Posnanski. I was impressed to see that he actually went ahead and put Mays number one. And the balls it took to put Barry Bonds up there number three, because nobody else from the modern generation cracked the top ten.
Yeah.
Top 10 real quick was Mays, Ruth, Bonds, Aaron, and then Oscar Charleston, who I did not look up yet, Ted Williams, Walter Johnson, Ty Cobb, Stan Musial, and Satchel Paige. So for Bonds to crack a list like that and then Mays to be at the front of it, I mean, we've been really lucky as Giants fans.
No, absolutely. I mean, obviously we never got to see Mays play, but, you know, I saw Bonds play dozens and dozens of times, saw so many milestone home runs of his in person, 600, 660, number 73. I mean, those are indelible memories. I know that they're a little bit tainted. Don't get me wrong. I'm not going to lie about it. But at the time, going through those emotions and the confetti exploding and the on-field ceremonies, it's pretty cool stuff that, you know, no one can take away from me. And I just very honored to have been able to witness his greatness at least more than a few times.
That's what made it nice about Posnanski putting Bonds so high on the list, because he comes from the generation that has been keeping guys like Bonds and Clemens out of the hall. And to have a guy from that generation be like, yeah, screw that, whatever. This guy's still one of the top 10 of all time. You know, because it's true. Barry is one of the top 10 of all time. And, you know, he made a lot of Giants fans out of a lot of people. A lot of people that came onto the bandwagon for 10, 12, and 14 were on that bandwagon because Barry brought them to the team in the first place.
Yeah, that's true. Very true. All right, and then the Giants are going to be playing. They're not going to be playing. They are playing, replaying past games on social media on Friday nights, and then NBC Sports Bay Area is replaying some of these games. So I keep seeing them flash across my feed, but I don't have the time to sit there and watch. There's been a couple on YouTube where I've gone back and started to watch, like Buster Posey's first game. I was like, oh, I've never seen that one. So to go back and kind of see his first few at-bats, you know, that was kind of fun. Obviously, they've replayed Matt Cain's perfect game and walk-offs against the Dodgers and things of that nature. But and although I love reliving some of the World Series highlights and some of the more special games and Lincecum no-hitters, it's hard for me to not just find the time but motivation to sit down and watch an old Giants game, only because it's like, oh, it's already happened. You know what I mean? It's a little different. It's not seeing it live.
Well, they haven't announced which one they're streaming this Friday, but last Friday was a walk-off that Crawford hit a homer to win the game from 2016 against the Dodgers. And I got the intention, but the Giants got two hits in that game. The only two hits were a Trevor Brown home run after they pulled Stripling, who had a no-hitter for 7 1/3, and then the Crawford home run to win it in the 10th. And it's like, I love you, Giants, but give me some more action. Like,
yeah, that's a lot of outs.
Right. I didn't need to watch the Giants basically get no hit by some rookie. I want to see like a 9-8 game. Like, I can think of a game like last year's, you know, comeback against the Reds. Or
the
it was
Reds,
a game a few years ago that Quiroz hit a walk-off homer against the Dodgers to win like 13-12 or something like that. You know, give me something wild like that. Don't give me boredom, because I put it on in the background, and if it sucks me in, it sucks me in. If not, like last time, I just basically did stuff, and I only kind of came back and watched the bottom of the eighth when Trevor Brown homered, and then I was like, okay, two more innings until Crawford homers, and I went and did stuff, and I didn't miss a thing. I didn't have to really watch it because there was no action. So hopefully they'll give us something better this week. So it's the only thing they're good for is for the background noise. It's just nice to hear baseball, you know, in the background, but I can't sit and focus on it. You know, no. Although to be fair, I have taken to watching old All-Star games. I watched the 2002 All-Star game the other day, and, you know, before the tie, it was entertaining. So it's kind of fun to watch that stuff because you get to see all the stars instead of just seeing, you know, the 194 utility hitter who happens to be hitting eighth in the random game you're watching.
Sure, sure. Yeah, I'm just enjoying my time, you know, the limited time I have in between my workday, but certainly on weekends to take the kids to the park. We're hitting the ball, we're throwing the ball, that kind of thing. Staying away from all the other people. you know, that's how we're kind of getting our baseball in right now. My daughter, actually, because she was playing softball for high school, is obviously extremely bummed about all of this because she played two games and is missing the rest of her season. She actually told me yesterday, she's like, Dad, is there any way we could have a batting cage outside? So I'm kind of looking into buying some supplies to build a batting cage for her in the backyard. Because like we said at the top of the show, this is probably going to be a long-term proposition. And you know, she might as well get her reps in. She can put a tee out there, and we have a net actually. She could be hitting into a net already, but something a little bit more enclosed. We could do soft toss and some stuff like that in. But yeah, it's hard to get our baseball fix right now, Eric. It's something that you and I just love and want and have experienced every year of our adult lives, except for the 1994 postseason, which didn't happen. Other than that, we've always had baseball. And just to not have it is just, it's a little hard, but.
but those things like that, like a batting cage, you can call Lexi. Maybe she can give you tips since she built
one
for Hunter.
Oh, that's right. She did, didn't she? I saw that on social media. It's like,
yeah.
Oh, that woman, she cracks me up. She's pretty funny.
That right. Couple.
But yeah, anyway, I don't know if you have anything else to say, but I just want to make sure that everybody's doing well out there. You know, hey, give us your quarantine stories. How are you coping with the not just quarantine life, but what are you doing for a replacement for baseball? Are you playing it? Are you watching old games? Are you playing video games, Stratomatic? What are you doing out there? Just shoot us a line. You can reach us on Twitter at TortureCast, Facebook, of course, we're there. TortureCast@gmail.com. You can get a hold of myself on Twitter at ChadK21. And Eric at 2OutHits with the number 2. So give us your stories. Maybe I'll put a poll out there too.
Yeah. See what everybody's doing. Because, yeah, I mean, some days, you know, some days. That's just the best way to put it. Some days. It was nice to have this to look forward to today.
I know, exactly. And that's, I'm looking forward to this too. Just a chance to talk to someone outside of work and home.
Right.
To be honest.
Yep.
Because, yeah, it's like I see the three other people in my family, you know, 23 hours a day right now. And it's like, wow, this is just crazy. We got some Google Hangouts for work, you know, a couple of those a week. And other than that, I do my workouts in the garage or go for a hike or play ball with the kids at the park. And, oh, man, this is a strange new world, Eric. But we're going to make it through this. But anyway, really hope you guys enjoyed, and thank you for enjoying with us episode 193 of the TorchCast. We'll be back next week for episode 194. Now, we don't expect baseball to be starting to play anytime soon. I think the earliest that would even happen in Arizona is June, if not later. But we'll still have fun stories to talk about and kind of update you on what we're doing. And, you know, we'll have some interaction with you guys, too. Send us in your stories. But until then, we will see you. Have a great quarantine life. Peace.
A big thank you to everybody for listening to the TortureCast, the podcast by and for fans of the San Francisco Giants. Follow us on Twitter at TortureCast. You can also like us on Facebook or check out our blog at TortureCast.com. I also want to say thank you to Ashcon and Bailey for letting us use their song Feeling Like a Giant for our intro. For Ben Lee and Chad King, my name is Willie Dills saying, we'll see you next time.